Good morning, George Watkins here on a Friday morning. As you know, my favorite day of the week. I think it comes from the days when I got out of school for the weekend. Maybe that was it. Well, I am excited about the things that God is speaking to us as a people. I am not thrilled with what I hear coming out of the voices of the world around us. That's never encouraging, especially in hard times and pressure times. But God's word and God's voice is the one that we listen to, because it's the eternal promise that he will bring us through. He's got a plan and a purpose. Amen. If you haven't subscribed yet, and if you're new to the broadcast, listen for a while, something that's blessing you, give us a subscription, or I should say, YouTube has that sign up thing, and Facebook, you can give me a thumbs up or a like. Thank you for that. The thought I have for today is the drama of life and its purpose. Wow. That's a broad brush to paint with today, but that's what God dropped in my heart. The drama of life and his purpose. Years ago, there was a well-known comedian that made a lot of money off of the phrase, "Why is there air?" Everybody would laugh. Well, those that were laughing, especially if they'd been through the university or some higher education, somewhere along the line, they ask you, what is life all about? Why are you alive? What's your purpose in life? When we're little, and my grandkids are about that age, what are you going to do when you grow up? Well, that's a purpose, isn't it? It gives a target, a destiny. I've talked about this more than often, I suppose, in my journey with the ministry and the call of my life. I never had a decision in that sense, because I always knew I was going to be a preacher. Didn't know what kind. That changed as I grew. I thought I was going to be an evangelist all my life, and that morphed into a pastoral. Then I still traveled as a traveling speaker and an evangelist at times, but mostly as a prophet or so forth, ministering in the gifts that God developed in my life. But I had a purpose. I, like you, I'm sure have been raised around people that didn't know exactly what they were going to do. I had a friend of mine years ago that was pastoring in this area that I'm in, and he just had an idea one time. I think it'd be a good career move for me to be a preacher. So he went to university or seminary and became a preacher. Well, that lasted for a number of years, and then he went and did something else. Not so if that purpose is so targeted and so vulcanized to your spirit that you don't change your target, you don't change your purpose. Okay, the drama of life and its purpose. What does God have? What is the direction and what is the target? When you go to college, perhaps high school, actually, first year of high school, the counselor's going to say, okay, young lady or young man, what are you going to do when you grow up so we can plan your college classes? They do that first year of high school, because they know that if you're going to be a medical person, you have to have certain classes. If you're going to be law enforcement, if you're going to be a educator, a teacher, so forth. That's shaping a purpose and giving a target. So how does God, in his creative skill, how does he give us a target? Bible says that he would give us the desires of our heart. Wow. The desires of our heart. What is that? How do you pare down, dig down, you know, burrow down to a desire that's really God's, getting past all of my desires. As a, you know, a kid, I want this, I want that, I want the shiny one, I want the big one. But as we mature, we realize that that's not God's desire. So how do we know the desires of our heart? He said he would do that, he'd given to us. There is in the core of our spirits a wish, a hope, a tickle, a scratch, a vibration, something that pops up like a cork in the lake every once in a while, pops up. This is what I desire to do. Now, how do we clarify that? How do we find out if that's just me or if I'm wishful thinking? When it comes at certain occasions, especially when you are in a place of spiritual freshness, when you're in a place where there's an anointing, when you're in a church service that it's especially when the worship may be going very well and there's a sweet spirit of Christ, or maybe a powerful spirit of Christ, there's things that will happen in your spirit then that you'll not hear in other times. Now you go to the car show or the car dealer, and your natural man rises up and says, whoa, I like red, and I want a big engine, and oh, I like that one because it's got cool tires. See, that's the atmosphere that the outer man, the carnal man, or the natural man gets excited. Some of these television programs they put together that are based on super flesh, you know, the one where they choose the boyfriend or they choose the girlfriend. It's all boiled down to desire of the flesh. I like what you look like. I like what you wear. I like how tall you are. You've got the certain color hair. It's all fleshly. Now, if we can detect when the spirit is speaking, that's the practice. That's what we're doing, is learning how to read and hear and listen to the Spirit of God and our spirit. Now, our spirit and the Spirit of God are really akin to each other because they're married. That's that new covenant, and that's that new creature. We have been united with Christ in a blend that is very super hard to separate. I don't believe in backsliding. I believe when we're married to Christ, we're married to Christ. Amen. Now, can I miss it? Can I fail? Can I get into terrible stuff and miss my calling? Well, that's another video we'll talk about. We've talked about that before, but I want you to know today, as we're starting this Friday, that as you are one with Christ, your spirit has the Spirit of Christ emanating because it is one with you. Now, John 17 said, Lord, make them one as you and I are one. Wow. How do you get closer together in the blend of things than the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, which is one? So when Jesus was on the cross, God was on the cross. When God marched and walked down between the sacrifices with Abraham, Jesus walked down through the sacrifices with Abraham. Wow. Okay, now back to my thought here and the subject on desire out of your spirit. Desire out of your spirit. Now, not everyone's called to preach. Not everyone's called to pulpit ministry or church work like we look at it. But we're all called to spiritual duty. We're all enlisted in the spiritual company and the citizens of heaven. So we all have spiritual work to do. Let's not discount what we've been called to do just because we don't do it in a pulpit or write a book or we're on a television program. You have been called as a spiritual leader in your home as a man or a woman. As if you're a husband and wife team, and there's many that are not, they're single parents, and that's a special duty when you're carrying the responsibility of the spiritual house. But if you're a man or wife team, you team together. And I know theologically I teach that the man is the head of the home, but that doesn't mean he's the dictator of the home or the ruler of the roost. He has a responsibility in the sight of God to walk in unity with his wife, because Peter says if you don't do it, God doesn't hear your prayer. That's a pretty dangerous place to be. Amen. Okay. This isn't a marriage session today. I'm talking about desire. The drama of life and the purpose of it. The purpose of our life is to fulfill the will of God. The purpose of our life is to someday, at that moment, when it happens, as David was declared to be in the New Testament, that he fulfilled all the will of God. I've got a fair amount of pushback from some critics when I say that. Well, he was a murderer. He was a fornicator. He was an adulterer. And he killed a lot of people. How can you fulfill the will of God when you don't do it like our church rules? You know, this is, if you're going to be holy, this is what you do or don't do. I was raised like that. And you know what it produced? Rebellion. That's all it did. You put a sign up on the grass, do not step on this grass, and every 14-year-old boy in town is going to put his foot right on that grass. Why? Because the sign, the law, caused me to sin. So you write a bunch of laws in your theology, in your church doctrine, and all the teenagers are going to break them. And they're going to practice rebellion. And by the time they're 17 or 18, they're really good at it. You say, well, wait a minute, don't we have any rules? Well, that's another video. Desire, out of the desire of the heart. Now, I have been rubbing on you for the last few weeks about practice, practice, practice. The presence of the Lord, the fellowship of the Father, and your time in meditation, and your time in being in his presence without an agenda. That's a big deal. That is really important, to be in his presence without a shopping list, like Santa Claus. Yeah, this is what I want. I'll be back later. And when we do that, then, that desire, that call, that purpose becomes clear. Amen. So you're 40, 50 years old, and you still don't know what to do. It's there. Polish it up. C.T. Studd was a man that ran into, I believe it was one of the English preachers in the 1800s, late 1800s. He was a businessman, very successful. He got saved and the desire popped up like a air balloon under the lake when you cut the cord. Boom! He went out to Africa, and in the next 15 years or so, did I say he was like 50, 52 or 3? That was old in the 1800s. He raised up churches and ministered to thousands of people. So late in life, or later in life, is not too late for God if you'll practice the presence of the Lord and begin to allow the Lord to ignite and reveal and expose those desires that are in your spirit. Amen. Well, as you see, I'm in my tulip garden today. I think I told you last week or two that we have a tulip festival. We have more tulips raised in this county than in a lot of places in the whole world, actually, except Holland, of course. So here we are again in the tulips. Thank you for joining me in the tulip garden. Well, Sunday night, 6 o'clock, don't forget, meet me again, and all next week. I love you guys. Thank you for your support, both in prayer and in encouragement. I got a little note today thanking me. They meet with me every morning. They, after their prayer session, they listen to the encouraging word of the day. That fires me up to do another broadcast. So thank you for that. God's nudging you to send a gift. You can do it through PayPal right in the notes below. And several of you have done that and are doing that. And it really gives us the gas in the tank to go forward. Amen. And don't forget our podcast and our other website and so forth. We have some product there that you'll enjoy. I love you guys. I'll see you Sunday night. Until then, be fresh. Don't be old stale bread. Be fresh bread every day. God bless.